Welcome to the ministry of Barefoot Church. I'm Clay Neesmith, the pastor here at Barefoot Church. And man, we hope what you experience here today will encourage you, motivate you, and inspire you in a great, great way.
So we're going to be camping out around the idea of names and name changes over the next several weeks to prepare our heart for that. You know, names had significance back in the day, especially when the scriptures were written. And oftentimes people name places and people based on what God was doing in that place or in that person's life. And we see several times throughout the scripture that God meets with people and begins to change their name, shift their name so they could take on their new identity and live a life of significance in who he had designed them to be. And we see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but we're going to look at one of those name changes God gave someone early on today, and I think it's going to help us all in our journey if we're ever struggling with our identity or who we are. And that name change happened to a man named Jacob. God shifted his name from Jacob to Israel. But you know, Jacob spent the majority of his life struggling with his identity, struggling with who he is. And what we find is towards the latter part of the story that unveils Jacob's new name, Israel, we find that this happened on a journey. And what I want to say to you today, If you're struggling, I want you to realize that life is a journey. And I also want you to realize that God has a unique plan for your life. He has a unique plan for our corporate life as a body of believers, but he also has a unique plan for each and every one of our individual lives. But what many people do is they come out of the womb and they begin to struggle with who God says that they are. And they spend their entire life chasing certain things or grabbing on to certain things to get their identity instead of first and foremost grabbing on to God and letting God tell them who they are. And what I want to encourage you in today is if you would just take the time to not just know who God is, but grab hold of God and don't let him go, my guarantee is God will begin to tell you who you are so you can live out who he says you are in this world. And so many people know about God. So many people know who God is, but fewer people understand who God says they are. And it's why they continue to grab for this and grab for that. And it happens in our culture in a radical way today. People moving from relationship to relationship, from job to job. And it's simply because they don't understand that God has uniquely created them in a special way. He wants to meet with them. He wants to build them up. He wants to transform them and do something amazing through them. And today we're going to learn from the life of Jacob that he always struggled. Now, some people would say, well, you know, if God wants to do a unique thing with me, why do I struggle? Let's back up for just a minute before we get to Jacob's life. The reason we all struggle, I think we could agree that we're all human beings in this room today and they're online, right? And the reason we all struggle is because when God created the first man and the first woman, he created them in a special way and he created them for a unique purpose. And the Bible says that God created, in the beginning, God created both man and woman in his likeness, in his image. And God created them to reflect who he was in the earth. He says, I want you to rule and reign over the earth, and I want you to carry my presence throughout the earth. So God created human beings in his likeness to be here on earth and be fruitful and multiply and permeate his presence throughout the earth. But if we go back to the story in Genesis, and it doesn't record everything that ever happened in the world, but it records enough for us to understand that the first man and the first woman failed at that assignment. And the Bible says because they failed at an assignment, it was given a word, and that word is basically called a sin. What does sin mean? It simply means missing the mark. Missing the mark of God's standard or God's plan for your life. And the Bible says we've all missed. And the reason we've missed is because the first man and the first woman missed at this. And so what God said was, because you got deceived by the serpent in the garden, now you have missed, you're going to always struggle. And he said, here's the deal. You're going to struggle, woman, with pain in childbirth and always wanting control over your husband. Go read it. It's in Genesis 3. Come on. And it says, man, you're going to struggle all your life. As you tend to the soil of the ground, it's going to be a struggle. You're going to have to work. But God says something else. He says, though you struggle, I'm going to come in and provide a savior. And what that savior is going to do is that savior is basically going to allow humanity to come back to me and let me give them a download in who they are. See, the whole purpose of your life here on earth is to be a reflection of who God is. Jesus said it this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come here on earth, come on somebody, as it is in heaven. In other words, may we bring up there, down here. May we be the reflection of God here in this earth. But many people don't know how to be that reflection because they haven't held on to God long enough for him to tell them who they are. They continue to let other things tell them who they are. And Jacob is no exception. Look what it says about him in the scripture. And I just kind of want to start with his birth today. But Jacob struggled from the very beginning. And it says it this way. Let me get over here to it. It says it this way in Genesis 25 verses 21 and 22. Isaac, Jacob's father, he pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, she became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So these twins that Rebekah is about to birth are already struggling with each other in the mother's womb. And as they come out of the mother's womb, the struggle doesn't stop. Let me show it to you. It says it this way in Genesis 25, verses 24 and 25. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. Come on, that's a good-looking baby right there. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac, the father, was 60 years old when the twins were born. So you know what? I'm only 55. That means Kim and I, my wife, we could still possibly give birth to twins. Come on, somebody. You up for that, mama? No, okay. Just thought I'd try. So the point is here Esau is given a name. Names mean something. And he is named because he is red and because he is very, very hairy. And the Bible says the twin was grasping his heel, so they named him Jacob. Jacob's name literally means heel grabber, surplanter. One who comes out of the womb more or less wanting his brother's position. In other words, he's grabbing the heel of Esau who come out first, trying to literally pull him back so he could be born first, so he could say, I was the firstborn, and begin to receive the blessings that come with the firstborn in that culture. Now, he wasn't conscious he was doing all of this, but it was a real life struggle. So you don't think babies are born with sin? Well, chances are you probably never raised one. Because they come out missing the mark. Here's the deal. You don't have to teach a baby how to say it's mine, right? They learn to say that on their own. It's mine. Grasping. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. You have to teach a kid how to say thank you. You have to teach a kid how to share things. And the reason is because they have this nature about them, this sin nature, that they will grasp to anything to discover their identity. Some people never grow out of that. They continue to grasp all of their life for things to search for who they really are. Jacob comes out of the womb. He's birthed being a heel grabber, a supplanter, one who will deceive at any, manipulate any given situation in order to get a position. Now, I find that fascinating because I am the third born of three brothers. I'm the baby. Come on, somebody. And everybody knows the baby is the favorite, right? And I would do anything as the baby to begin to manipulate the situation in order for my parents to recognize I was the baby. In other words, manipulation doesn't just, you don't have to teach people how to manipulate situations and stuff to get something they want. Some of them are pretty good at it. And I've discovered this lots of times. The ladies are a little bit better at it than the men. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle because you know what? We are all born with this struggling sin nature. But Jacob struggled from the womb. He struggled about being first. He struggled with his parents. Because if you keep reading the story there in Genesis 25, 26, 27, we discover that his dad, Isaac, favored his brother Esau. And his mama liked him better. And it all had to do with their genetic makeup. But can you imagine, you know what, one of the parents literally saying, you know what, you're my favorite. Again, I know who my parents' favorite was. There was no question about it. I was the favorite because I understand that, okay? However, the understanding of what kind of began to mess him up and make him grab out for anything or do anything was simply, you know what, because he struggled with his significance. He struggled with being important. Growing up, I struggled with significance. First and foremost, I struggled with my peers when I got to school, not only with my siblings at home. And as a kid who would be made fun of, we call it bullying today, I would do whatever I needed to do in order to push back so I wasn't bullied in that school or around my peers. I struggled because nobody wants to be bullied. And again, because sometimes of our makeup, people bully us about certain things. I wasn't the sharpest drawer in the knife, okay? In other words, I struggled in school sometimes with my schoolwork. And because I struggled, I would sometimes put on fronts when I got in certain places and stuff and all. And what it caused me to do is it caused me to shut down and become very withdrawn and very shy because when I would speak sentences, sometimes everything wouldn't just come out just right, and people would make fun of me and they would call me names and all kinds of stuff. And I began to think that about myself. And so I struggled because I couldn't learn quite as fast as some other people. Some people struggle today because, you know what, somebody told them because you're a certain color or you look a certain way, you have no significance in life. And so they spend their life trying to change that, trying to prove themselves. You know, again, and again, I want us to understand where this struggle comes from. We all have this sin nature. Jacob had it too, and he struggled all the way along the journey, and he struggled with this whole parent identity thing. And then later on, the Bible says, because the brother, more or less, was born first and had the blessing, Jacob began to struggle with manipulation, and he stole the birthright of his brother by selling his brother a bowl of stew. It's amazing. He manipulated a situation because his brother was hungry. It says, I know how I can, because Esau's blessing was one of power and prosperity. That was the blessing that was going to go on Esau's life. And what he began to understand, if I want that power and prosperity, what I can do is I can trick Esau and he'll sell me my birthright because I'm hungry. And that's another message for another day. But Jacob manipulated the situation. See, that's what happens when we don't know who we are. We'll begin to manipulate things because we want power, we want prestige, we want position, we want prosperity. And so we begin to work certain things, and then all of a sudden we begin to alienate other people around us. We begin to not like ourselves. We begin to run sometimes. We begin to become angry sometimes. And these things begin to happen, and it's a real struggle. Can I tell you what the struggle really is? It's called being human. And most of us have struggled somewhere along the journey with something I've just identified. But how that all changes is first and foremost beginning to understand who God is and then come into his presence, listen, and grab hold of him long enough for him to tell you who you are. And my friend, today, if you're in a struggle, I want you to know God wants to give you a new name. And God wants to give you, he wants you to have a significant purpose. But you gotta be willing to stop grabbing for all of these other things to bring identity to yourself and grab on to God, your creator, long enough for him to define who you are. Come on. We keep looking at the story and we see him steal the birthright. Then we see him deceive his father in order to get the blessing. And then because of all of this, now Esau begins to hate his brother and wants to kill his brother because the Bible says Esau is a hunter and Jacob is more of a person that stays at home with his mom and cooks in the kitchen. And so Esau bows up and he's like, no, you're not gonna steal my blessing. And the Bible says he wants to kill him. And because he wants to kill him, his mom and dad said, here's what you need to do, Jacob. You need to run to your uncle's house, Laban's house. You need to go away. And so now Jacob, because of all of this struggle in his identity, he begins to run. And can I tell you, as he begins to run, is exactly where he first begins to meet God and who God was in his life. But he doesn't understand in this first meeting with God who he was. This is significant. Just because you meet God, and you meet God through Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus is the way you meet God, it doesn't mean you understand who you are. Because life is a struggle. And what God's doing when you meet him for who he is, he will begin to give you a new name and transform you into who you are to be. But it's a process. Most people think, well, if I meet God, then everything's gonna change overnight and everything's gonna go my way. No, my friend, it is a process. And you have to understand not only who God is, You have to take on the identity of who he says you are. And so the Bible says, as he's running to Uncle Laban's house, that he runs across God. And I want to read you this passage and connect the dots for us today. But the Bible says it this way in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and he traveled towards Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp, and he stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against, and he lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac." Jacob, struggling with his identity, God begins to show him who he is as God. He says, "I am the God of your grandfather Abraham. You heard about him. Your father Isaac, you heard about him. But Jacob, I'm at the top of the ladder, and I am that same God." He goes on to say this. He says, "The ground you're relying on belongs to you." Why? Because I made a promise, and I'm a God who always keeps my promises. "It belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust on the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more," God says, "I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. One day, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I finish giving you everything that I have promised." Then Jacob, he awoke from his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. I wasn't even aware of it," Jacob says. But he was also afraid and he said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." But what's unique about this, God begins to reveal who he is and reveal the promises he has for Jacob's life. But Jacob gets up from that place and he goes on to visit his uncle Laban, and he spends 21 years before he decided to return back to that place and allow God to tell him who he was. He spent 21 years in struggles, lots more struggles. Now he's met God. And can I tell you, there's some of you in here who have met God through Christ Jesus, but you're still struggling. And maybe you met God 2 months ago. Maybe you met God, 12 months ago. Maybe you met him 21 years ago, 48 years ago. I don't know how long it is. But the Bible says that he meets God, he goes on to Laban's property, he's blessed, all kinds of things begin to happen in his life and through his life, but he's experiencing manipulation, he's experiencing all this stuff, and he's still always trying to move the chess pieces around to make things happen. He was grabbing on to stuff because he still simply did not understand who he was. Then he begins to travel back. Let's connect the dots. You can know who God is, but until you understand who he says you are, you won't get through the struggle and live the life of significance. I've been knowing God for a long time now. I met him several years ago. But can I tell you something? I spent a lot of those years still struggling with my identity. And until God told me who I was, you know what? I never understood the significant part I play in what he wants to do in and through me in the world. And again, it's not that I still don't struggle. I struggle with things every single day. But I know who I belong to. I know who he says I am. The old nature in me continues to try to take me back, but the God in me begins to transform me and change me in every circumstance, in every situation, and I hang on to that for dear life. Other words, you can tell me that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And you know what? I don't take on that identity. And the reason I don't take on that identity is not because I'm that smart, but God called me out of that, and God's given me the ability to begin to read and understand his word and share it with people that moves them towards him. And because of that, I step into it. I can go home. I can struggle. I can bury my head under the pillow. I can say I'm never going to do that again, because I can begin to compare myself and grasp for all kinds of things. I struggle with all that stuff, just like many people here struggle, but I know who I am. And at the end of the day, I go back, I grab hold of God, and I walk in my purpose and in my destiny to fulfill what he put me on this earth to do. And it's to glorify, weigh in on his name and how powerful he is. Come on, somebody. Got to get back to who God tells you you are. It's an amazing story, because now Jacob begins to come back to where he is, and this is where he gets his new name. The Bible says, during the night, Jacob got up. He took his two wives, his two servants' wives, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the Jabbok River. Again, there's a significant word, and we won't go into it today, but it has significant meaning. But it literally means passing over, passing over into a new area. Goes on to say this: after taking them to the other side, he sent all his possessions. He had become very rich now. He left Jacob. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. How many of you know, whenever you know what, you tell everybody to go ahead, you separate yourself from the stuff, from the families, and you get along with God. You know, get off of Facebook and get along with God. Stop scrolling on your Instagram and get along with God. Here's what I want to tell you. There's nothing wrong with your Instagram. But if you stay on Instagram and that's where you get your identity from, you need to get off of it and get along with God. You need to put something out in front of you and say, let me get along with God. Because I've discovered when I get along with God, when it's just me and him, he begins to tell me who I am. It doesn't always happen when I'm in front of other people, but he begins to tell me who I am. Look what it says. It says that he left Jacob alone in the camp, and the man came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. When this man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. And then the man said, let me go, for dawn is breaking. Most scholars that I have studied believe that this man that is wrestling with Jacob in the dark is more or less the incarnated God. He's God in the flesh. He comes as a man. He wrestles with Jacob, and then, you know what, before dawn breaks, he disappears. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then the person wrestling with him said, what is your name? The man asked, and he replied, my name's Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob. Check this out, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel. This is significant, because if you study the name Israel, it means triumphant with God. You will be called Israel, he says. Now you're going to be changed from Jacob to Israel. And it goes on to say that because you have fought with God and with men and you have won, you have prevailed. Please tell me your name, Jacob said. Why do you want to know my name? The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injured hip. And I wrote this in my journal about that passage of scripture. Though Jacob left with an injured body, he left that place with a healed heart. Because the reality of it is, the blessing that he grabbed hold of and God gave him in that wrestling match was the name that meant triumphant with God, and that meant now you can take on this name, not the name that everybody else has given you or what you think. You can take on the name I am giving you, and together, Jacob, we can become triumphant in all that we do. You held on to me long enough for me to tell you who you are. You wrestled with me. You wouldn't let go of me. And what I want to declare to you today, as a human being, it is what we are to do. We are to come to God, receive what he offers us, and grab hold of him, and don't you let go until God tells you who you are. That's what it means to become the new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come, because what happens is God moves in you, and then God begins to coach you through the power of the Holy Spirit, developing you into his glorious image. But you don't do all of that at one time. You have to come to know who God is and what he wants to do for your life. And the Bible says what God wants to do with every single human being, no matter who they are or what background they come from, is shine his glorious image through us. And if you get that picture today and you come to God, what glory means is it's a word that means weight. It means that, you know what, your life is to show that God has weighed in, told you who you are, and because you know who you are, you don't let the circumstance, you don't let people, you don't let the powers and principalities in the heavenly places tell you who you are. You show up like God has weighed into your life, reflecting his glory here on earth as it is in heaven. My friend, that is your purpose, that is your destiny, and that is who God says you are. Let me close with this today to basically reiterate what I just said. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. The Bible says this: whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had this veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. It goes on to say, and the Lord who is the Spirit, check this out, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See, God moves in to transform you. God doesn't just show up to save you. God shows up through Christ Jesus to show his incredible love on a cross. God shows his incredible power as he defeated death and rose from a grave 3 days later. But that isn't the only reason God came. God didn't come just to forgive you as a human being. God came to restore you. God came to rescue you. Out of who you may think you are, out of your old life, out of your past, no matter how bad it is, God comes in, he rescues, and then he draws people to himself and puts his Spirit in us to transform us and change us into his glorious image. And my friend, it doesn't happen overnight. But if you are a human being and you have come to know God through Christ Jesus, understand what God is doing is he is putting himself in you so you and I can be transformed and reflect him into this world. That's what it means to show the glory of the Lord. It means to show his majesty, his incredible work in your heart and in your life. He's come in and he's healed you. Because again, the word glory, it's a word that literally means weight. And I look at it this way: my life needs to reflect that God's weighed in speaking to who I am. I've grabbed on to him long enough to know who he says I am as a human being. And no matter what my days look like here on this earth, I know who I am, I know who I belong to, and I know what the calling is to be a human being in this earth. My friends, there's a sense of peace that begins to come into your life when you understand that. You don't keep grasping for everything else for identity. You don't keep searching for the next thing. You hang on to God. And God keeps building you and keeps growing you and keeps helping you make progress to reflect who he is. Have you received a new name that God has for you? Because literally, Jesus came so we could all have a new name in who he says that we are, and we don't have to stay the same. I like to say it this way, here at Barefoot Church, we receive you right where you are. But the truth of the matter is, we're here to work together so we can all be changed into his glorious image. Because how dare me to say that God wants us all to stay trapped in our old identity and you not take on your new identity. That's what it means to make progress with God, to be discipled. And so many people are stuck today because they think, well, God can't come into my life because of something I've done or somewhere I've been or I've messed up to this point. Let me give you one more thought today before we leave this message. Is whenever God refers to himself a little bit later on after all this encounter, you always hear it said, and you even hear it said today, that God, the Most High God, is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And again, if you really begin to think about that, well, God changed Abraham's name. He may have changed it from Abram to Abraham. And we say, man, that's the greatness of God. God breathed into his life, and that represents God. And then Isaac's born, and Isaac is faithful, and he fulfills a task that he was to do. And you know, he wasn't sacrificed and all of these kind of things, but offers himself up to be sacrificed. And you know, that's remarkable. God's proud of that. But when he says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, you would almost expect him to say that I'm the God of Israel, because that's a remarkable thing. He gave Jacob a new name. Jacob was a deceiver before, but now he's triumphant with God. But it doesn't say that. He says, I'm the God, and it's used interchangeably a lot throughout the scripture. It doesn't identify him as just Israel. Sometimes it identifies him as Jacob. But I think that's important. And the reason that's important is for you and I to understand that, you know what, you don't have to be perfect for God to be your God. Because some of us are stuck. We're trying to do things and perform our way to God. But I need to declare this to you today. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac, and he's the God of Jacob. And if you're a Jacob today, and you're a deceiver, and you know what? You've been manipulating situations, and you think God can't come to you, I need you to know he's the God of Jacob too. Come on. He's the God who will come to you no matter what is going on in your life. Some people say, well, man, I got to get it all cleaned up before God will come into my life. No, you don't. That's a lie from the enemy. Because God came to this earth while we were yet sinners. And the Bible says he died on a cross. He fulfilled his promise. He did what he said he was going to do. And he did it in the middle of our mess. Yes, Jacob's messy, but God says, I'm the God of that person too. And this is significant today. Because no matter where you are, on the spectrum or on the journey, God can come to you. He can rearrange you. He can change you and use you for your life to be significant. The question is will you grab hold of him and hold on to him and let go of the other things that you try to get your identity from? Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every person here. And as God, as you change us, God, may we take on the name of who you say we are. May we become your set apart people. May we become, you know what, people who are here in this earth that really begin to shine your glory and your majesty to those around us and to the circumstances, no matter what the struggle is. God, may you give us the fight to stay in the game and keep fighting and keep struggling, because God, you will show up and touch our heart and tell us who we are. And God, if there is one here today that don't know who you are, may they understand, God, you're a God of love. You showed that on a cross. May they understand you're a God of power. You came back from the dead. You came back from the grave. And you're a God of compassion who wants every single person to know who you are and begin to be forgiven and take on who you say that they are. God, I pray for the human just humans all around this world, that God, we would recognize that we are broken without you stepping in, doing something, rearranging our life and transforming us. And God, if there is a person here today that's grabbing on to anything else for their identity, God, I pray today they would let it go just like Jacob did. And God, they would take on the new name and be triumphant with you. God, you're an amazing God. And I pray we would hold on to you all the days of our life. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for the opportunity for the Spirit of God to teach each and every one of us. We pray it in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged, motivated, and inspired today by the message. And again, man, we believe in you. We believe great things for you. It's because of many people's faithful giving that we're able to go out around the world. If you choose to invest in Barefoot Church, just go on over to barefootchurch.com. You can give there. But go out, live your purpose, and be inspired in a great, great way.